Welcome to Nonprofit Courage Lab, how to ask for more and raise major gifts. I'm Julie Ordonez, your major gifts fundraising coach. And I'm on a mission to help nonprofit leaders like you get the courage and strategy to ask for more. No one has changed the world without first changing themselves. If you want to raise more money to change the world, you are in the right place. You ready? Let's go. I am here with Lindsay Fuller today. She is the ED of the Teaching Well. She is honestly one of the people who inspires me the most. And it is an honor to work with her and to support her and her incredible executive team. They have a bold vision for growth and are doing the most effective work in the education space and even beyond that in supporting the nonprofit sector. And we've been working together to create a custom fundraising strategy for her and her leadership team. And I honestly am so excited for you to hear from her and learn from her and her story and the Teaching Well and the work that they're doing. Is incredible. I am the daughter of a teacher and I come from a long line of teachers. And I heard Lindsay on the We Are for Good podcast, which is an incredible podcast. Shout out to them. And I was listening to her talk about her work and I was like, I have to know her and we have to know each other, and I have to help her in any way that I can. I will do it. And I love, I just reached out to you cold on LinkedIn and I was like, hey, I want to help you. You don't know me, but I just listened to you and like you have it. Like you have the boldness, you have the character of an amazing leader. And I can just tell, sometimes you just know and you responded to that and you're like, hey, yeah, let's do it. So here we are. That was last year. And I'm just so grateful, Lindsay.
I'm glad you told the truth about sliding in my DMs. I think also I was like, so I'm about to have a baby. I really appreciate this. We should link up. And you're like, great, hit me up when you get back.
Right.
I don't know that I did immediately, but you came back at it. And that was the first exposure to your tenacity.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I put it on the calendar. I was like, follow up with Lindsay Fuller. Put it in there. Yeah. So Lindsay, thank you for joining me and for being here and being willing to be visible and share your story, your experience, your point of view. I think it's so important for people to learn from you. And so please just tell everyone about you, about your organization, how old the Teaching Well is, what your revenue kind of looks like, and this, you know, incredible work that you're doing.
Amen. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Hey, everyone. Lindsay Fuller, as Julie shared, I am a legacy educator, former teacher, administrator, district leader. Never would have imagined I would be at a nonprofit. Just didn't know it, didn't see it for myself. And when I arrived at the Teaching Well, a beautiful organization that was created for and by educators to try and solve this issue of educator attrition, and not just trying to get folks to stay, but imagining, reimagining the field such that they can be well while they're doing it, right? We're in a crisis. How do we get folks to actually retire from the field, to be sustained throughout it, to model to young people that being a teacher is fly, that they should, you know, have that ambition to pursue this profession, right? And so a lot of what we're doing is building adult cultures we don't need to heal from. That's in the nonprofit sector, that's in education spaces, schools, districts, right? And we do wellness coaching, we do consulting work, direct service, and a little bit removed, but we're trying to really amplify the brilliance of the folks that are there. The solutions are already in the space. And so we're so glad to work with Julie. Let me tell y'all, I think I just put on my other LinkedIn post, it is rough in these nonprofit streets. And we are all right. And we've been fortified intentionally through some hard work these last couple of years. We're one of the few nonprofits that I know of that has a reserve, a substantial reserve. And that is because we have been really diligent. I pay people, not rent. We have worked to really steward the funds that we have responsibly and to make sure that as we approach this ESSER fiscal cliff that we are in, where the money is drying up, that we can be all right and that I don't have to worry about terminating teammates because of our finances. And Julie's a part of our fortification strategy. So that's where we are. We are about 50-50 is where we're always aiming for, raised capital and earned revenue. And that's gotten more challenging, right? We don't need to conceal the fact that obtaining grants are harder and harder and that paying clients are struggling more and more. So cue Julie. Can't solve the problems of the world.
Yes, I love that you have a healthy reserve, and I wish that more people had that, prioritized that, that that was something that was built into people's budgets. And I love that you did that even through a global pandemic and all of the challenges that that brought, particularly in education, that you chose to do that is so, it's beyond impressive. It's just you living out your stated values. And so I just want to commend you and congratulate you and your team for that and setting that example. And even just talking about it, I think is going to help normalize that for other people, that it is possible, that it does take really difficult decisions. So.
And it's that forecasting, right? It's actually being able to pick your head up out of the work, which is a theme in our coaching, right? I'm a service leader. And so I want to keep my head down. I got problems to address, right?
Yeah. Like,
my community's hurting.
Right.
And it's not just Ohlone Land in Oakland. It's the field more broadly. It's educators everywhere. And it's BIPOC leaders burning out at really, really high rates. And so if I have the audacity to hire a global majority team, the audacity to hire and build with my incredible staff, a queer safe organization, if I have the audacity to hire folks and say, you can be a full human and a parent in our organization and thrive, then I need to have a reserve to prioritize their well-being. We can't cut benefits because grants are drying up. It's not a thing. That's not human-centered. It's not paradigm shifting. And it's certainly not our values. And so shout out to the Teaching Well team. We're doing it.
Drop the mic. Okay. I love that. So tell me, like, why you could have worked with anyone, really? Like, why did you decide to work with me? I'm just this, like, person reaching out to you cold over LinkedIn. And then we get on this call and you're like, I don't know you. Like, I mean, so why did you decide to hire me to be part of your team to help you with this? What was that decision for you?
Yeah, I think I just caught my face and I was like, oh, I'm doing that. I think that was probably the face I had in our first call. I'm like, who is this? I keep being like, why is she so emboldened? Not that I love it for you, but you were just like so direct. And that's a love language of mine. So at first I was like, I don't know. And we started to do some snooping because that's our business, because we take vendor procurement very seriously.
Yeah.
Right. We partner with folks that we feel aligned to. We were like, I don't know. And then it was like receipt, receipt, receipt. She was consistent. Consistency matters. It's trauma sensitive. You're highly skilled. I think a couple of the pieces that really stood out, because we did talk to several folks, was one, you are an excellent communicator. And we do work in the teaching well on connected communication, mm-hmm. building bridges and not barriers, especially across difference. And until we radically, radically shift the state of philanthropy for our organization as a global majority organization, the majority of our funder relationships are across difference, across race, across socioeconomic status, right? And so the way that you were able to bridge with us to communicate, to clearly name gaps, challenges, more of that, Lindsay, speak to this, get sharper, right? Which takes me to another reason why we wanted to work with you. You are a sharpshooter in terms of analysis. You are precise. Mm-hmm. You don't mince your words. Your analytical brain is popping. And so when we put something in front of you, you're like, no, that's ashy. She doesn't don't worry, that's my language. But, right?
I love it. Yes, understood.
You're just so sharp at figuring out and reconfiguring. It's like Tetris of strategy. All right. I got two more reasons why we chose you. One, or I guess third, is that we refuse to code switch. And you do too. Legasp, Pearl Clutch. It is authentic. Our engagements are authentic. We cackle. We big eye emoji at each other. We get real. There's some calling in of the mindset work of the socioeconomic realities, I guess, the barriers to really showing up as our full selves, even though we do that. It's hard when you're at your edge, when you're stretching and you're out of your comfort. And finally, I would say, just to be 100% real, we wanted someone that was willing to lift the veil on a part of work that has a lot of what feels like secrets. If you weren't born into wealth, there are ways of being, of moving, of communicating, of writing, of asking that require practice. But frankly, there's a cheat sheet, and not all of us had it mailed to us. Not all of us were born into that access. And so, I don't know, it was probably our second conversation. You were like, this and that. And I said, well, why didn't anyone tell me? How did I get to this age? How did I get to this position? And no one said, this is the way you ask. I felt bamboozled, not by you, but by the system. I felt gaslit. Had I had that recipe, I could have been doing this.
Right.
Like, for me and coach, I'm ready. I understand the assignment. Right. And you said something so calmly to me. You were like, yeah, there are multiple secrets and I'm going to tell them all to you. And actually is a huge equity choice that you're making. This is the movement. Tell the secret, spill the tea, liberate the community. I'm here for it. So anyway, long-winded, but that's why we rock with Julie on our team.
Thank you. And, you know, I think for me, over the course of my business, I've made decisions to invest deliberately in learning from Black women. I'm just going to be real straight, because in my career, even as a fundraiser, my mentors have been Black women, actually, and who have taught me how to have seven-figure investment level conversations one-to-one with donors and have, you know, lifted the veil in terms of my own development. And so, because of that access and seeing their lived experience as fundraisers, I am committed to an overinvestment and disproportionate investment in Black women and women of color who are in fundraising roles, because they face the most barriers of anyone. And so for me, I want to give my very best, and, you know, I want to be thorough and remove any barrier that's, you know, like, why is it there? Like, let's just like make this, you know, as fast and smooth as it can be, because it's still hard as hell. It's still so challenging. And, you know, I think you as a leader and your team have the character of leaders to, you know, be invested in the tens of millions.
Come on.
And I'm looking for those people, and there's not a lot of them. You know, I'm not overwhelmed by all the people who I'm like, yeah, let's get them like all the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, who I'm like, and I felt like I found you, Lindsay, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to support her and help her team in any way that I can. I am so in their corner, and I believe in what you're doing. And the fact that you've also had the, you know, the discipline in your team of making the decision to track your how effective your work is and your model in investing in educators to be able to know, yeah, 8 out of 10 are going to remain in their school who have been through our signature model. And it's just, that's just one example of, you know, this is who we are. This is how we know what we're doing is impacting our community. This is the fight that we're in, and this is how we know that it's working. Is also what makes you stand apart, because a lot of organizations don't know to do it, or they just don't choose to have the this is going to be a priority for us to be able to track, okay, what are we about? How are we living out our values? How are we making the decision and even knowing we're effective at what we're doing? We're actually doing what we claim to do in the world. Like, this is how we know. And I'm like, yeah, that is such a smart investment for any donor, any supporter.
Yeah. I mean, we think so too. Come on, give it to the teaching lab. And you're right. And I think having a team that is 100% educators means that we care deeply about children, means that we come out of resource-strapped environments, means that we know we're competing for resources. And we don't want to be competing with kids and the very teachers and administrators we're working to serve, to retain, to sustain. So we better do a damn good job. We're accountable to our communities. We're not cherry picking clients that are all stable and easy and will, you know, pad our results. And unfortunately, that's what some folks feel that they have to do to survive as an organization. But we're proudly in East Oakland. We're proudly in Watts, right? We're in our home communities, and we're not leaving them, not for the results. It just means the caliber of our services, the rigor that we're providing, the compassion and the wraparound efforts that we're leading. There's no choice but to succeed. It's deeply personal for us. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate to have phenomenal partners that are a yes for us, and to have some really incredible funders that see our vision and want to be a part of the movement.
Yeah. So good. Hey, are you determined to double or maybe even triple your individual giving this year, and you'd love some guidance and support? I've got news for you. I have taught dozens of leaders how to raise more five-figure gifts in a month or less inside my program, Courage Lab. If you want to learn more, go to nonprofitcouragelab.com. That's nonprofitcouragelab.com, and grab your spot today. Now is the perfect time to improve your fundraising skills and build your personal courage. I got you. Head over to nonprofitcouragelab.com. See you there. So when we first started working together, which wasn't that long ago, it was like November. So what were some of the first things that I had you do? Like, what were some things that you, your team did? And, you know, what are some of those mindset shifts that you've had personally as a leader?
Yeah. Yeah, Julie was like, we're going to get your life. Okay. She was like, okay, so how are you making time for this? All right. I mean, look, so many folks, if you are on the fence about working with Julie, trust me, we didn't get to a reserve like just blowing our money. We are really, really, really intentional and deliberate about evaluating whether or not it's a good investment for us to take on an outside partner. Mm. And I was resistant. I'm like, that adds to the gap, right? That we have to close. And so we actually, a huge part of our mindset shift was we're investing in us. Mm. That when we are stable and thriving, our clients have greater, deeper, more long-term access to us, that my team can be sustained. And when my team stays, when they are retained, there is greater continuity of care for the educators, which we know contributes to them staying, which then provides greater continuity of care for young people. So I had to really get out of my own head and out of my own way as the executive director of this organization, that I don't want to take money off the floor and put it towards my development. I want to give every bit of funding that we secure to offset the cost of our program.
Yeah.
This is access to program. It's all connected. And so I think that's a part of the mindset work that needed to happen. Many folks come to Julie and they're really looking for the courage. I like to think that our team is deeply courageous. Mm-hmm. And other folks come trying to learn from her, how do I build the capacity to hold multiple streams of work, to hold this nuanced work? I don't think those were our challenges. For us, we needed the focus and the formula. And I already spoke a bit to that cheat sheet feeling, right? The formula for what is best practice. What are the ways to move in funder conversations? What are the appropriate and most high leverage comms mechanisms? How do we make our annual report really just tell a dynamic story? And Lord, how are we using LinkedIn, right? That's the formula piece. And the focus, yeah, Julie snatched me out because I had to do some real calendar work. Executive directors, it is our responsibility, not just to steward the work or be exceptional at the service provision, because that's my belief is that a leader should be able to do most of the central programmatic work in an organization. That didn't mean you should, but you should be able to. And I simply did not have enough time allocated in my calendar on the daily, the weekly, or the monthly level, let alone quarterly, annually, to focus on development. I didn't have it. And so I remember pulling up my calendar being like, yeah, I have maybe 30 minutes in January. And likely Julie laughed at me in that moment. And so some big shifts had to happen. And there's now a forecasting exercise that I have to agendize that allows me to ensure that there is a monthly and quarterly focus for myself, as well as each of my co-leaders in the organization, to actualize this work. We know our calendars are going to fill. So it actually took working in the beginning of December to ensure that in January, I've held at minimum 2 funder meetings weekly.
Yeah.
Right. But there's backwards planning, there's logistics, there's coordination. And so that's some of the work that we did in terms of mindset and I guess laying the foundation to be able to actualize the work on a technical level, y'all. Julie's next level with that comms piece. She makes these sexy little Loom videos when you hide her with artifacts. We love a good, wow, this was a cute attempt at a corporate donation. She like both affirms you and like low key, maybe high key, you know, reads you for filth on various elements of your artifact. Yeah, love this. More of this. This is really powerful. I'm having this thematic response. That's our words, not hers, but that's what she was doing. And then also like, this part makes no sense, so remove it. And you might think about, right, Juicy, same with our annual report. Completely shifted the way. The impact on our annual report was such an aha for our director of innovation, who is brilliant. She was like, I understand the assignment. With Julie's help, I am now planning for the annual report all year long. Mm. It changed the way we looked at the data. the storytelling components, the visuals, what elements we were, I was like, you had me at the annual report audit. So anyway, that's some of the work we've been able to do.
Yeah, it's been so fun. Oh,
if you think this is just her personality on LinkedIn Lives, this is legit how she is when we're doing our coaching meetings. And it's fun. Who knew that development work could also have joy? Who knew? I knew.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. So everyone just got to see. That's what I mean. Those little, she gets at you in the meeting. I did. Oh, right.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is my like hope and prayer and intention and, you know, my dream for the world is like, this does become just another source of joy. I mean, not 100% of it is joyful, right? But, you know, that's why we get paid to do a job, because sometimes it feels like a job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I love that you shared that. Yeah. And y'all's annual report is like, so, I mean, you need to go on their website. You need to download it. You just put in your email. You're going to get access to it. It's really solid. And, you know, your board responded really well to that too, and was starting to share it out with people organically without you asking, like, hey, this is so amazing. This person, all these funders need to see this annual report. And you were like, what? And I mean, that alone for me, huge win in terms of, you know, yeah, that's what you want. That's what everybody wants, right? Like, would our board just freaking like tell people about us?
Well, actually, and that was a paradigm shift in this partnership. Julie's orientation to the role of the board. Again, I was like, oh, got it. Beautiful. We have an incredible board.
Mm-hmm.
Of hyper-talented people,
yeah,
well-connected people who care deeply about our work, have been loyal, have helped us weather multiple storms.
Right.
And the moment I went back to the way I had talked about annual report launching in the 2 years prior, it's like, hey, y'all, FYI, check this out if you have time. As opposed to, who do you know that needs to have this on their desk, in their email? Who do you want to call to tell them about this? Who are you going to ask? And how do you want to show up? Was radically different. And one of our board members ended up plugging us with 6 funders. The first week our annual report went live, was like, I have to tell everyone about this. Was so excited that we had 6 new leads. And the annual report also just organically generated a couple of leads. And that was a peak for us, 9 new funder leads in a single week. And of course, we credit that to our results. We credit that to our phenomenal connected board. We credit that to your direct and detailed feedback and to the incredible work of my team.
Yep.
But that really, that was a transformative experience.
Beautiful. So any other results so far? I mean, we're not done working together, right? So we have more results that are coming. But what results would you share that have been significant for you in terms, of course, everybody wants to know the fundraising results. That one, of course, the board sharing with 6 potential funders personally, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. What have you seen so far for you, for the Teaching Well, for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just so much more focus, clarity. It has demystified multiple buckets of the work. After the first call with you, when we role played that conversation with a funder, a tremendously loyal and supportive funder, I was like, oh, and I believe it was 23 minutes. It was definitely under 30 minutes of a conversation, phone call, y'all. If you were wondering, do we need to be in Zoom? Do we need to be in person? Phone call, right? Zoom calls, these type of, it doesn't have to be in the fancy restaurant, though that's, we love an order. So there's that.
But we love it. Yes.
We do. We love that in person because all development work is relationship work. We're clear on that. And that was his preferred communication modality via tech, right? And we were able to ask for a one-time additional gift, ask for an increase mid-cycle, mid-grant cycle for the next 2 years, and talk about a multi-year pledge beyond our current grant cycle. And again, that was under 25 minutes. And so hearing the yeses, the yeses, the yeses, and what else, and hearing the shift in language around like, and then we're going to, and I don't typically fund these other spaces, but once we stabilize this area, we might just, right? It was like, oh, just a tremendous shift in our relationship. We up-leveled together. That was incredible. And I think the other one that was really fun was at our retreat with you. Once we learned how to work the cold call DMs on LinkedIn strategy, right? We did that on day one. And by day two, all four people had responded on the exercise. I mean, it was like 24 hours later. 100% of the leads had at least responded. Since that time, I've met with three of the four that I reached out to. So,
wow.
It's if you're thinking about what are the ways to partner with Julie, that retreat was invaluable to our team. We had protected really, really connective time to figure out what are our gifts from an assets-based lens. How do they contribute to our work? How are we going to do this sustainably, but assertively?
Yep.
On behalf of our community and with our community. And worth every penny spent.
That's so good. I love that you said that sustainably and assertively. So good. I think when we sharpen our skills, we don't have to put in as much effort, because when you put out four messages and you get four responses, it's because you've sharpened your skill and your communication and your donor outreach that you don't have to email 100 people to get four responses.
That's right.
And I think some people are out here trying to do the output game where they're like, well, if I want to raise more, I just got to do more. And it's like, no.
You brought that to us and it was like, all right, like, how do we work smarter? Our community not only deserves it, our families demand it. I have three children under 10, y'all, send help. But also we love them, right? And what it feels like to learn and grow in this way as someone who didn't grow up with this type of access has unlocked another way for me to amplify the voices and the needs of my community, to show up more effectively for the colleagues and the staff that I love to serve every day, and frankly has given me another avenue towards collective liberation. Like, we can win when we're all free. It's going to cost something to get free. And there are folks that want to finance that. So we just have to find the folks that want to really lock up and walk with us shoulder to shoulder, right? To a better world. I know it sounds like all extra fluffy, but every East Oakland child deserves an educator that is well, that is stable, that will stay. And from that place of stability, can teach with rigor and humor and kindness and joy. And we're on our way towards that.
I love it. I think that's a big piece of the Teaching Well's success, is that you're very clear on your vision and you know how to measure that. And I think that you're already, your supporters have responded to that in kind. And because you're so crystal clear on where you're going and how you're going to get there, that calls in big gifts. That big vision, big goals, calls in big gifts. And I think that that's something that differentiates you from other organizations. They're still trying to figure out, like, what would they do with 10 million? Can't really answer that. And you and your team can. And so I think that's also a big piece of, you know, it doesn't have to be 10 million for some organization. It might be 5 or 2, but to, you know, this is who we're about. This is what we're going to, the impact we're going to create. And this is why you should invest. And Yeah, that's a huge component of why you're successful. So last question for you, Lindsay. What would you say to someone who is thinking about working with me and them and their team are thinking about working with me? What would you say to someone who's on the fence or considering and also looking at other options? What would you say to them?
I would say that if you have not invested in your own development and in your organization's fiscal solvency, the time is now. Study the trends in philanthropy as it pertains to your specific body of work. In education, the tides are changing. You must diversify your revenue streams. You can't wait. You can't wait until you're too tight financially. You can't wait until you're debating whether you have to release someone or remove the liberatory healing benefits that you've built into your organization for your team. Once you're at a point of stress and pressure, you've waited too long. And so if you are sitting with enough space to strategically move and you're forecasting that your specific lane is going to be impacted by philanthropy or by fee-for-service challenges, invest in you. She is spicy, but it is worth it. And make sure that your organization will be here to fulfill its mission. That's on you. So the invitation's out. You should hit her up.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. I appreciate your time. Even more than that, I just appreciate everything you're doing and your work. And I hope that more people follow you, follow your lead. And I really see you as someone who is a model executive director in terms of, you know, how do you make values-based decisions? How do you invest in your team? How do you hire really great people? How do you create a strong culture? How do you, like you say at the Teaching Well, we're creating spaces and environments that people don't need to heal from. And I think you actually do that. Like, there's so much language in nonprofit, in education, that's really vague and it's gushy and it sounds really nice. And of course, everyone agrees. Everyone is, you know, for inclusion. Everyone is for equity. But how do you actually do that? Like, the Teaching Well and your leadership, I just want to congratulate you because I feel like it's, you know, there's proof that you do that. You can point to specific choices that you've made to demonstrate that you believe in those things. And it's just an honor to be on your team and support you. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Grateful to you. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're so grateful for you tuning in. And thanks so much.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining me, Julie Ordonez, your Major Gives Coach on Nonprofit Courage Lab, and for investing in yourself today. Head to nonprofitcouragelab.com to connect, follow, and share. If this has encouraged you, please rate and review this podcast. And remember, nobody changed the world without first changing themselves. Until next time.